So now we are at Perek Dalet of Mishlei. We're moving along. 31 prakim, round at four. We should be done any minute now. I'll take a nap. I don't know. We'll see if we can do. Now, the nice thing about this is that I've got a good source, David Miller's book, for the first five prakim. So I have no idea where we're going to go after this. The Perek Dalet, fourth Perek, is a very different message than the rest previous ones. It has much more about ethics and learning wisdom. Here it's more about Torah. As John said, you have to be Mekabel Torah every single day. Okay, and that's what we're talking about, and how that connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it starts out, source one, Shmu Banim Musarav. Listen, O children, to the Musar, the discipline of a father. Akshivu Dat Bina, pay attention to that of knowledge and understanding. Plus, I have given you a good, like a good, I've given you good merchandise, things that are taken. Torah Tital, the Atazovu, do not abandon my Torah. We know this pasuk, we say that putting the Torah back every Shabbos. Ki ben hayiti la'avi, because I was a son to my father. Rach v'yachid, young, and the only one. Name me for my mother. Okay, so this is getting a little biographical. Right? Shlomo being Ben V, Rach V'Yachid. I was young. I was the only child of my mother. He was 12 years old at the time, and that's exactly the way David describes Shlomo as Rach V'Yachid. This is in Divrei Hayamim when he's presenting Shlomo to make him king to the people. David tells the all people, Shlomo b'ni, Shlomo, my son, Echad, he is one. The one is one child. Bachar bo Elokim, the one that God has chosen. Na'ar, a youth. Barach, literally tender years. And there's a lot of work to be done with building this Beit HaMikdash that he's going to do. Doesn't belong to people; belongs to God. So he's described as a Rach v'Yachid, and now Shlomo is describing himself this way. He's saying to us, this is the Musa that my father gave me. Rubani Musara. This is my father told me.
Danny, that's an interesting thing there in the beginning where he says, Rach v'Yachila, l'fnei imi. So is that the only place that you see that she only had the one surviving son, Shlomo, and there was no others?
Well, that's the implication from Divrei Hayamim when it gives her children.
Oh, okay. I didn't
Batsheva
know.
has five children, four before Shlomo,
Oh.
but none of them are mentioned afterwards. The assumption is based on the Gra, that they all died in infancy or early childhood.
Oh, the other children died.
Right. So that, I mean, Rabbi Shimon talks about that she loses four children, and that goes with the whole parable about the sheep and the poor man and his sheep that Natan tells David. And David says that he has to be paid back fourfold. And we have this idea that he loses four children before Shlomo is finally allowed to live.
Oh, okay.
We talked about that. Rav Shimon talked about that in Shmuel, and we talked about it at length what that means, how it fits into the metaphor of Natan. But he is Rach v'Yachid l'fnei. He's a little child, but he's going to tell us what his father said. So what do we know about what his father said? So we have two different records of David's basically last words, his ethical will to Shlomo. One of those is in Divrei Hayamim. I'm going to look at that. And of course, everyone was paying attention when we were talking about Tehillim and Shmuel, so we remember all this, right? Vayomer David, Shlomo v'ni na'ar v'rach. Okay, and this is David continuing telling this is the people that my child Shlomo is young and tender. And this house that I am building to be glory to God, achinot not lo, I have prepared it now for him. And I prepared a lot of things before I died. They call it Shlomo. And he calls Shlomo. This is a public declaration by Sabeo live note by Hashem, Hashem Elok Yisrael. Commands him build this house. That's David's focus. David tells Shlomo, B'ni, Ani hayayim livnot beit l'Hashem Elokai. I had the intention of building this house for God. And God told me, "Damlo Rav Shefachta, you have spilled much blood. You made great wars. You're not going to build this house. You damim rabim shafachta arsofanai, because you spilled blood before me." And we've talked a lot about what exactly that means. But a child will be born to you. He will be man of peace, and I'll give him peace from all his enemies around him. He will be named Shlomo, and he will be a man of shalom, of peace. And Israel will have peace in his days. He will build this house, and he will be my son, says God, and I will be his father. And his throne, his dynasty will be set on Israel forever. That's one word, last words of David to Shlomo. The other one is in Malachim, and that's the one that's a little more violent and political. Right, we know this one also. Like Rudi made David Lamut, by Itzavich Shlomo Benole Mar, and David was getting near to death, and he commands his son Shlomo and says, "Ni anochi holech b'derech kol aretz. I am going the way of all flesh." You need to be strong and be a man. And you need to keep God's word. Go in his ways. And keep all the commandments, as it says in the Torah. So that everything you do shall be successful. And everywhere you go, you'll be successful. And then he continues, "Vegamata, and you know what Yoav, my nephew, my general, my first in command, did, Yisrael, and what he did to the two generals of Israel, Abner ben Ner, Amasa ben Yeter, to Abner and Amasa, two of the generals, one of the leader of Shaul's son's kingdom, and the other the leader of Absalom's rebellion. And he killed both of them. And he did this act of war when they both of them were seeking peace. Remember those stories? Well, very good. Right. So that's he tells him. And spilled the blood of war onto his belt and his shoes. And you should do according to your wisdom. Don't let him die in peace. But for Barzillai Giladi and his family, the one who supported him when he was on the run from Absalom, and you should do good to them, and they should eat at your table, because they came to me with food, with support when I was running away from Absalom, your brother. And also with you, one of your teachers is Shimi ben Gera, Ben Hayimini from Binyamin, Mibachurim, and he cursed me viciously when I was on the run. And then after the war with Absalom, he went to greet me at the Jordan, and I swore to God, I would not kill him. Now, don't consider him innocent. Just because I swore that I'm not going to kill him, he's still guilty. Because you're a smart guy. And you figure out what to do with him. And he should die in blood. So those are the messages we have. So when someone tells us now that, okay, this is Shimu Bani Musarav, right? Listen, this is what my father told me. What are we looking at? Now, I mean, it's not really an ethical message here. I mean, he mentions obeying Hashem and keeping the laws. That's a good thing. And it seems he mentioned this idea of what we call before tit for tat, the strategy of being gracious with everyone, working with everyone by default, but respond to evildoers in kind. Yeah, that's what he's doing here with Yoav and Shimon Gera. But it's, I think that Shlomo really has a different Av in mind. He says, this is the Musar that my father gave me. He's not talking about David. You saw that pasuk here, right? And Hashem said, tells David, you know what? You're going to have this son. He's going to build a temple. Right. Hu yib nebayit shmi, v'hu yalib leben. He is going to be my son. Bani ani lo la'ab, and I will be his father. And his throne will, his dynasty will last forever. So really, Shlomo wasn't David's son, not in that sense. He was God's son. That's his role as Melech Yisrael. Melech Yisrael can't be loyal to his own family. He's got to be loyal to the people as a whole. So the point here is he's telling his audience that this is what my father, Hashem, told me, and you are all children of God. And you know that because beforehand, when we looked at when he just has this metaphor of, listen to the words of your father. It's Shema b'ni Musar Avicha in the singular. Listen, my son, the words of your father. This is now plural, Shmu banim, and Musar Av, much more general. It's a very different word here. Not a metaphor. He's talking to Bnei Yisrael directly. Right? So David says that, Shmu banim, you are all children. Atem b'nei kelcha, you are the children of the living God. Shimu l'mosar ha'av, shebashamayim. Listen to the words of your father in heaven. Hamiyaser al-bina, that disciplines you over understanding this. Like shibu l'datatai, pay attention to know that. And that's a reference to the pasuk in Parshat Re'eh, where we're explicitly called banim. Banim atem l'shem l'kechem. You are the children of God. And then there, the pasuk in Devarim in Parshat Re'eh ends with "Lo tidkodedu," go to do, don't cut yourself, "Lo tasimu karka b'neinakem," and don't make bald spots, "lamet," for the dead in mourning. Don't do it so extreme in mourning that you cut yourself or pull your hair out. And so I think we have to look at this allusion, right? This is Shimu Banim, Shimon was saying, is obviously the place where we're called Banim is in this pasuk here, which sounds very great. Like Banim Atem HaShem, it's very spiritual, it's wonderful, but then it goes into this idea of being a very, like, well, don't cut yourself. Seems very minor. But the Gemara says, no, it's deeper than that. This word of Lo Tidkodedu, don't cut yourselves. Read it as don't cut yourselves apart. Good morning, Baba. I'm really dressed you. I'm a Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish told Rabbi Yochanan, Ikri Khan lit go to Lo Tidkodedu. The pasuk says, Lo Tidkodedu, do not cut yourselves, meaning Lo Tasu Agudot Agudot. Don't make yourself into separate factions. Don't separate. You all need to be one people. Hi, and the Gemara says, well, no, lo did go to do mi bai le gufei. We need it to teach us the law itself. The Rahmana, don't hurt, won't wound yourself over the dead, right? That's the literal meaning of the pasuk. We can't ignore the pshat. It says, imkain, if that's also, it would say, lema kra lo tit go to do. Lo to go to do, rather, not lo tit go to do. Don't cut. My tit go to do, don't cut yourselves. That's teaching us this also. A specific law in the Peshat about mourning. Don't go overboard in mourning. And it's more drash, meaning of don't separate. Don't separate yourself into sects, into factions. Everyone needs to work together. And this is something that Rabbi Beshevkin in his Parsha, in the his weekly reading history in the Parsha article, talked about on Parsha Re'eh. It starts with a joke. We all know this joke, right? But a Jewish man stranded on an island for 20 years, and he's finally rescued, and he shows everybody around the island that he built. Here's his house. Here's the market I made. Here's the bank I made. Here's the saloon. Over there's the shul. That's where I would dive in someone to rescue me. And then a rescue points out another building that's on the other side of the street, far away. And what's that? Jewish man disdainfully says, oh, that's the other shul. We don't go there. We know that, right? You had two Jews, you need another shul that you're not going to go to. That's a bad thing. That's violating what to go to do. Don't split apart. Don't split into separate shuls. Or if you do that, make sure the shuls get together every once in a while. Okay? So this is what he says. This is what he says about this pasuk of lo to go to do. Banim atem. And this is all Rabbi Beshevkin. The prohibition of separating from the community is couched within a verse whose plain meaning is discussing cutting oneself in mourning. What do these prohibitions have to do with one another? The answer lies at the beginning of the verse. You are all children of God. How does this explain either prohibition, cutting during mourning, and separating, creating a separatist community? And the answer is at the heart of the statement. The Jewish people described as the children of God is our distinct embodiment of transcendence and eternity. Nesek Yisrael Yishaker, the eternity of the Jewish people is undeniable. That's our status as Banim. For this reason, that we are cautioned against excessive mourning. Of course, it's okay to be sad. Excessive mourning evinces a detachment from reality, from the reality of the eternity of the Jewish soul and Jewish people. A reminder that we are the children of Hashem is the very reason why our mourning should never become self-harm, since a part of each of us continues within the eternal family as Jewish people. It's this very reason why our caution from separating from the community. A family sticks together. Our differences, as long as they don't threaten the essence of Jewish life, can be bridged. The main part of Knesset Yisrael, which is the collective soul of our people, not merely a choice, but a calling, reminding us that unity can prevail over division, and the ties that bind us are stronger than the disagreements that divide us. And that's the meaning of Shimu Banim. Listen, because you are Banim, Hashem Elokeichem. You are all one. And that relationship comes through Hashem and comes through the Torah, which is why the next line is Lekach to natati lachem. I have given you this good merchandise, this great gift, which is the Torah. And that word lekach, as meaning something that is taken, right, from kach, is specifically referenced to the giving of the Torah. That's what Moshe says in Parshat Hazinu. Says, listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Yarov kamatar lichi. May my lekach drip down like rain. Yizalkantali, my words pour like dew. Yisirim like deshak, revim alei esev, like the rains on the grass. That's what lekach is. And the Makdavar emphasizes that calling it lekach means it has to be taken. It's not a gift in the sense that you just stand there and someone gives you a Torah. You got to work for it. Is the Makdavar on that. Lechi, v'omek halachot, means learning the halacha, v'iyun Torah, and studying Torah, shabbat v'yigi'ah v'amal, that comes with effort and stress, the sweat. V'shumhachi nikra mekach, that's why it's something that is purchased. Here's mekach naaseh o b'kesef o b'mechir yigi'ah. You get a mekach or lekach in this sense, either paying money or working for it. Takes effort. Zeh pirush lo b'kesef, that this Torah you can't buy with money, o b'mechir yigi'ah, with the price of effort. You gotta strive for it. Mishum hachi nikrat lichi. That's what he means by lichi. The lekach is the Torah that you get by working at it. And Shlomo doesn't explicitly say it, but the fact that he's addressing banim here is that the ethical lessons of Sefer Mishlei are not for the individual. Derech Eretz is how society works. It's all working with other people. Lo Tidgo Do is the first lesson of Sefer Mishlei, and that all of Knesset Yisrael, we're all in this together. And yes, that takes work. Not just for learning, but actually working with other people. Being moral would be really easy if it weren't for everybody else. And the Mishnah emphasizes that these psukim here about Lech Lech Tov Natati Lachem says that this is how we know that Hashem loves us. We are Banim, and Hashem has given us this gift. And this is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. Chavivim Yisrael, Shemikru Banim Lamakom. Ben Yisrael, beloved, and they're called the sons of God. We just saw that. Chiba Yetera Nodat Lahem, Shenikru Banim Lamakom. And it's a greater sign of love that God actually told us that. Shenemra Banim Atem Hashem Akashim, says in the Pasuk. Chavivim Yisrael, Shenatan Lahem Klechem, Chlechemda, that Bnei Yisrael are beloved, that God gave them this desirable tool, this Torah. And it's even greater love that's being demonstrated when Hashem tells us that here, this is the tool, the Kli Chemda, the desirable tool that I created the world with. As it says, Ki lekach tov natati lachem Torah ti al da'azov, I've given you this great gift, do not forsake my Torah.
Danny Chemda, does that mean beloved, or what does that mean?
Lo tachmod means, instead, don't be envious.
Ah.
Right. So this is desirable.
Okay.
Okay. Everybody wants it. Everyone wants the Torah. So Maral on this Mishnah says, what does it mean? It's Chibayatera, right? Beloved, when Hashem gives us a Torah, calls us Banim, and then Hashem says it, so that's even more belovedness in there. What does that mean? Thank Hashem, it's a Chavim Yisrael Banim. And it's hard to understand when the Mishnah says that Bnei Yisrael beloved, because they're called Banim LaShem, what's the extra love by telling it? I mean, obviously, the fact we know it's in the Torah. Hashem says, Banim LaShem, obviously, we know it. What does it mean? Yesh hefresh ben chiba nodat lo ben chiba she'eino nodat. So the answer is the difference between that love that Hashem will have and the act of telling us about it. Ki chiba nodat modia lo achiba lifnei shemavakesh ahavato. Saying I love you is asking for the person to say I love you back. It's a request for it to be reciprocated. I say I love you. I want the other person to be loving me back. That's what the Chibayatera is. Hashem's telling us, Banim, but Banim atem, therefore love me like a father. So it's an extra love to tell him. There's more, even more love there. So that Hashem's telling us who is the beloved. It's not hidden. Hashem wants us to learn. That's why Hashem tells us that. It's learning it. Because it's creating an obligation. Right? We are Bani Hashem. We are aware of that status, and therefore we should take this lechem. And that's what I was saying. This is what I learned from Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what he's telling us here. Shimu Banim. That God is lekach tov. So the next he continues on this, and what is this musar? What is the musar that his up that God gave him? What does he learn from? What is he learning from God? And that's the next couple. Okay. But you're right. And he taught me. But you're really and told me. It's moch devarei libecha. My words will support your heart. Shmur mitzvotai, keep my commandments, bechaye, and you will live. Kenei chachma, acquire wisdom. Kenei bina, acquire understanding. Al tishkach, don't forget it. Al tet mamrei pi, and don't let slip the words of my mouth. Al tazva, if you don't abandon it, tivitishmerecha, it will protect you. Aheva, love it. Titzrecha, and it will guard you. Reshit chachma, kenei chachma. The first step in wisdom is to acquire wisdom. And with everything that you acquire, can they be not acquire understanding? Turn it over, and it will elevate you to chabedcha, and it will give you honor. Ki techabedcha when you embrace it. It will place an adornment of grace on your head. And it will guard you with a crown of tiferet of beauty. So Shem here is giving Shlomo career advice, right? Kenei chachma, kenei bina, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Everything you do should be about bina. And it reminds me of the scene from The Graduate. Remember The Graduate? Old movie, right? Right. It tells me one word, plastics. That's the future. Future, just invest in plastics. So here the word is chachma. Just invest in chachma. Kenei chachma, kenei bina. Right. Reishit chachma, kenei chachma. And that's chachma in the sense of this lekach tov. It's a good investment. And so what that means is, yes, it takes work, right? So lekach, you have to work at getting the Torah, but it will pay off in the long run. It's only a worthwhile thing to work on. And the mission of the Akash Shimoni brings two different little stories illustrating how what a great investment learning Torah is. First on this is Yeshua Markatub, Yilechak Tov Natati Lachem, Toratia Talzovu. I've given you this great gift, this great merchandise. Do not abandon it. It's a Lechak Tov, good merchandise. Why? Because Benohag Shaba Olam, that generally the way the world works, Shnei Prak Matutin, two businessmen, Shayubim Mininazia, that are in the same state, Matkasa. I can't pronounce the Aramaic. One of them, I looked this up. One of them deals in raw silk. Zelokeh lusirka, which are silk garments. Amduo and then when they get with each other, they say, "Well, you want to trade one with the other? You'll take my garments, I'll take your silk. We'll both make money on this." I'm on hands. He says, "Fine." So they trade with one another. One takes the one, there's garments versus the raw silk. Once you give it up, he gives the other guy his silk. He no longer has the silk. You only have one thing in your hand. While Torah ain't a can, but learning. The Torah specifically is not like this. Zeshona, you have one person learning Zeraim, one person learning the Zikin, different Siddur and Gemara. The two of them get together. And say, "We'll trade. I'll teach you mine, you'll teach me yours." Then everyone gets twice. Because you don't lose it by giving it to others. That's a lekach tov. Give it to as many people as you want, you still have it. You can imagine a merchandise better than that. And that's what's lekach tov. One example of lekach tov. Amru Batenu, another example of why it's a lekach tov. Maaseh b'svina sheyeh b'pragmatutin. Same root as the English word pragmatic. Right? There's a boat with men with merchants. V'yashem chaver achad, and there's a rabbi there. Amru lo, and the other merchants ask, "Rabbi, ma pragmatia shelcha? What business are you doing? Where's your merchandise on this boat that bring to trade?" It's hidden away. Amrullah, Lamalotirella, and they ask him, "Why don't you show it to us?" He says, "When we get to land, I'll show you everything that I got." So they search the boat, trying to find where this mysterious rabbi and their merchandise is. They can't show them now. They didn't find it. They started laughing at him. You have nothing to offer. You don't have any merchandise. You're just lying to us. You get to land, and the customs agent comes to them and impounds everything. They don't bribe him enough. One of those countries. Takes everything they have. And they have nothing to eat, no clothes to change into. And this rabbi Nichnas Beit Medrash goes to the local Jewish community, goes to shul, Yitchil Yashev and starts teaching. So everyone there is impressed, honors him, Parnesato supports him. So all those merchants who are with him in the boat now have nothing. They were asking him for something. He's being supported, they have nothing. You recognize us. So, mention our merits, right? Maybe they'll support us also. And so, conclude. How did this guy get saved? HaTorah should be what he knew. That's a lekach tov. So that you can't, that when you give it away, you still have it, and it can't be stolen from you either. That's Torah, that's lekach tov. And it is also, as he says in here, that it will keep you, Shmor mitzvah b'chayeh, you will keep it and you will stay alive because, as we said, it is that which has created the world, right? So, lekach tov that I built the world with. That's what the Maharal says, that learning Torah keeps the world running. Moshe Torah, he said, Adam. Just like Torah is the rules for a person's life. The way we're supposed to act. Kacha Torah, he seder shel olam. That's true for the universe as well. It's how the universe works. The universe was created in order to keep the Torah. You are seder Adam who nigla mufarash b'Torah. So why all the laws that people are supposed to keep? That's explicit. First says, do this, don't do that. The Adam would tell the Shema to seder haroi lo, because we need to know what exactly we need to do. While seder kol olam, but the idea that the Torah is the blueprint of the world. It's also implied in the Torah. It's not as obvious to see. Yeah, Torah rak feder mitzvot ha'olam l'cholam. That the Torah is the blueprint for the world. That's what the Midrash says. Shema Torah barat olam. That looks at Torah created. Meaning that this Torah is the plans for the world. And when everything is working together as one, then something goes out of that order. This destroys everything. So if the Torah is how the world works and I violate the Torah, now the world isn't working. Things will go wrong. That's why it says that God taught me that your heart should be supported by my words. Keep my mitzvot, and you will live. Why? Torah, which is the words of God, supports a person, keeps him from dying. So keeping the Torah means that the world is working as it's supposed to. Because the Torah keeps everything going. That's what means keep my mitzvot and live. Negev maaseh mitzvot, corresponding to actually doing the mitzvot. That's what keeps alive. That is our purpose in the world. Vayomer, and it starts out with Vayoreni, right? God showed me, taught me. Chulashan hara, the sense of teaching, of demonstrating, pointing out the direction. Create had Torah, Blashon. That's why it's called Torah. That points us the way to go. We don't call it the Chachmat Hashem. It's not just wisdom, but it's the direction. Torah shows the person the way to go. That will bring us to our ultimate purpose, as far as we possibly get, meet our potential, getting us to the ultimate. So Torah points us in the right direction. And more than that, it says as well in Agada that starts from our pasuk. And then God taught me and told me to keep the mitzvot and told me to live. And the Midrash on that says that we were taught the Torah in the womb before we were even alive. We know this, I got it. Marnida. So Mlamdin Havlab Me'imo. And they teach. The angel comes and teaches the fetus in the womb, Kol Torah Kula, all the entire Torah. You've heard this, I got it before, right? Shneamar says, right? He showed me and he told me. Keep my mitzvot, and then you will live. Okay? In that order. But Kevin Shabbala Viralom, as soon as the baby is born, comes out to the air, Bar Malach, Mitzitral Piv, a Malach comes and whacks him on the mouth, Umashachko, Kol Torah, and then you forget all the Torah you learn. As it says, the Petach Chatat Mavetz, as you come out, then the sin kind of is crouching, waiting for you. Very strange, Agadata. Obviously, something that we take seriously, but not literally. What does it mean to learn everything? We learn our Torah in the womb, and then it's gone as soon as we get out. So this is from Rabbi Tatz's explanation, which unfortunately he doesn't write a whole lot. He gives speeches. So this is actually Shira Smiles' words on this. He's talking about Rabbi Tatz's explanation, living inspired. Rabbi Tatz explains that all the Torah learned in the womb is found within a person on a subconscious level. We don't forget it, it's still there. Throughout our lives, we work on bringing this knowledge to the fore, to a level of consciousness. That's why when we hear something beautiful, inspiring, we often feel a sense of familiarity. We're not really learning something new, but recognizing something we've already known. Knowing that all this knowledge is already within us, and all we have to do is uncover it, Rabbi Tatz explains, serves as an inspiration that we can indeed succeed in our spiritual journeys and quests. Investing great effort in Torah learning is a reality in this world and a prerequisite to truly attaining. So this explains, we're talking about another Medrash, that while Yaakov Avinu was constantly kicking in the womb, eager to leave. We know the Rashi says that, right? That's Rachel was complaining that The babies kept kicking. She was in pain, and the Midrash says that because Yaakov was trying to get out into the Beit Midrash and trying to learn, whenever Rivka passed the Beit Midrash. We can put it with this, that if he's already being taught all the Torah in the womb, why would he want to get out? The answer is that Yaakov Avinu is stirred that to acquire Torah, one must work. The lekach. But Torah to yagya you have to work in Torah day and night. Indeed, many great Rabbanim refused to learn Torah from Magidim, which is the idea that the well, Mechaber Yosef Karo describes as being visited by having a vision of an angel who taught him Torah. And the Gra specifically says that he had that opportunity, right? He had the vision of an angel who was going to teach him, and he said, no. You don't want Torah as a gift from God. You want to learn. You got to work at it. Instead, insist on conquering their learning through tremendous effort. But while it takes struggle and exertion to master Torah learning, our ability to do so is entirely predicated on the gift of inherent knowledge that we have received before birth. The idea that we're taught it beforehand. So it's really it's something inherent in us. We recognize it. We got to work to bring it out. Rabbi Tetz specifically cites the Maharal, which I can't find the original, so I'm going to believe him, that this inborn Torah, what we learn in the womb, is wordless. Okay? And it cannot be expressed in words. And it's the same sense that the universe knows the Torah. I look at the Torah and we say, by Shemayim Misaprim Kvod Kel. That right, the heavens declare the glory of God, and Maaseh Adav Magid HaRakia, and the heavens speak about the work of his hands, but in Omer ve'in Devarim. There's no speaking, there are no words there, without hearing their voice. We got the idea. Just look at the universe that declares God's greatness. And it's the same sense that the fetus does, right? We were born with an incredible amount of sort of built-in. I say knowledge, reality. We have some sense of instinct. It's there. But we're born and we have to say things in words and express them explicitly. Otherwise, we don't understand them. And so Rabbi Tat says that's what it means when it says the angel strikes on the mouth. That's the gift of speech. We get, you know, when we get the gift of speech, we forget all the Torah, not since it's gone, but we know we realize that we need to express it, we need to learn a completely different way. And Rabbi Tetz has this cites the Gemara that after death we're called to account for the mitzvah we did, the sins we did, and for the Torah we produced. And the Vilna Gaon says that when we're being interrogated, do we learn Torah? We see the angel asking us about that. We'll recognize that angel. This is the angel that taught us in the womb, asking whether we brought that worldless knowledge into fruition, into reality there. So that's your mission in life. Take all the Torah that you really should know and bring it out. Say the words. And so that's what this pasuk is telling us, that okay, that you have given this gift, you got to work to actually express it. And you have to do with this aheveha. You need to love it and it'll protect you. And the Gra says about this is lachzor tamid. You have to keep going on back to it, lasbir, kidela bin, davar mitav davar, and try to understand it and try to derive new things in it. That's what Bina is. Okay, what you said about receiving the Torah every day, that's what it's all about. It's not just redoing the same thing, but trying to learn new things and kind of building it on it. And Rabbi Morris, what I quoted here about the Mishlei first chapters, says this is how we love Torah. Real care for Torah is when we struggle to understand and build on the understanding. It's when we're not content to simply protect what's written, rather, it's when we take the idea to the next step and venture into the unwritten, we create a new idea. We create Chidushim in Torah. The true learning must produce original thoughts. This relationship with the created Torah through love. Rejuvenation is an essential nourishment in life and Torah living. And so he continues and says, and the pasuk says, Sal Saleb Truma, you need to turn it over. And it will exalt you. You have to keep turning the Torah over. Mara McGill explains, what is Sal Saleh? It's a Hepak Lagamena, right? There's no other word like that in the Torah. And it says, Lo haviyadi rabbanan mai sal saleh trumecha. The rabbis didn't know how to translate sal saleha. Mula amata debate rabbi. But then they heard a maidservant from the house of Rabbi, they were Amaret lahu gabra, that told one of the other servants, I mean, Mafabek Mazia, that was playing with his hair, was flipping his hair over. Amrullah, and she said to him, Amataya Tama Salsel Basarecha, how long are you playing with your hair? Salsel said, keep messing with it. And so that's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot when it says, Bebagbag Omer, Hafokhva Bafokhva Dekulaba. Turn it over and turn it over, because everything's in it. And that's what Salsela is. So you can't take this midrash about being given taught all the Torah in the womb as being, that's it, we're done. That's just the starting point. We actually develop the Torah here. And that's Shlomo's message, and that's what protects us. And that's the section of Shlomo saying, well, this is what I learned from God. We gotta learn Torah, appreciate it, and keep working at it. And now we return to the central metaphor of the book. Initially, it was a parent lecturing the child, and the idea that our moral judgment is formed from observations of others. It says, Shimu bani b'kach imri. So now it's not Shimu banim musar av. This is not Shlomo about his father. This is now, listen, my child, and accept my words. And you'll live for many years. These are the same metaphors he said before. I have taught you the ways of wisdom. I have directed you in the virtuous cycle where everything builds and becomes greater and greater. As you walk, your steps will not be in pain. And if you start running, you won't fall. Be strong and musar. In this discipline, do not be weak. Yitzra ki chayecha, guard it because it is your life. Orach rasha'im al tavo, don't hang out with bad people. Don't go in the ways of the evil. Balta asher b'derech ra'im, and don't be happy with the ways of wickedness. Pareyu al tavarbo, pass him by. I don't think I translate pareyu. That's a good. Or Ehu, avoid it. Okay. Al tavarbo, shape my love. Avoid, don't pass by the wicked. Avoid them. Bavar, just pass by. Yilo yisnu im lo yareyu, because they will not sleep unless they do bad. Once you get into this vicious cycle, the bad side, then you can't even not do the wrong thing. You won't sleep until you do the thing you're convinced you need to do. That'll be bad. And their sleep is stolen. They can't sleep if they can't cause others to stumble. Because their bread is the bread of evil. And the wine of violence is what they drink. Don't stay with bad people because they're just going to go worse to worse. Then Shlomo ends this section with that the way of the righteous is like a shining light. And this light continues until it brightens the day. That the wicked are in the darkness. And they have no idea why they're fallen. And the Gemara goes back to this idea this, the that the righteous are like a light, the light of the righteous, in the context of this paragraph, right? The you're taught Torah in the womb, and you know all the Torah. And this is the same Gemara as the one about the being taught all the Torah in the womb. And Darsh Rav Samlai, he says, what is the fetus like in the uterus? The Pinchas Shemukufal, like a folded over notebook. With his hands on the sides of his head. That his knee, his shoulders are on his knee, or his elbows are on his knees. Shite, with his ankles against his bottom, and his head between his knees, right? The fetal position, he's all folded up. And there's a candle lit on his head, but so fair, and the fetus can look, my beat me so far, lo mat so far, can look from one end of the world to the next. Also, Says, Io meet Nini Kierke Kedem, who will bring me back to those months of old, Kimei Elokai Shemreni, when God guarded me, Pilo Nero Alai Roshi, when Hashem put his lamp above my head, Laro Elechoshech, and through its light I will walk in the dark. So the fetus has this light that lets us see it, lets him see from one end of the world to the next. Again, strange, but I take it seriously, but literally. And Shlomo uses that metaphor later on in Achav when it says, when he says, Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam, soul of man is like the lamp of God. Ofes kol chadrei baten, and it searches out all of one's insides. And Rabbi Tatz says that this is quite a spiritual light. It illuminates the fetus' whole world. Illuminate the fetus's whole world. There are no questions. You know everything. No uncertain decisions. So it's part of the answer to my thesis from before in the chapter that I called Fatherly Advice, that our moral judgment is mimetic. We do what we see other people do, or what we think is normal. That's what we judge as normal. There's no such thing as an intuitive sense of morality. He's saying, no, it is. We are born with this intuitive sense, right? That light that we have inside, we lose it when we're born. Okay. And we talked about the fact that, well, most moral judgment, it comes from how we interact with other people. Right? This is Jonathan Haidt's comment about people are highly attuned to the emergence of group norms, the model of social intuition. Opposed to the mere fact that friends, allies, and acquaintances have made a moral judgment exerts a direct influence on others, even if no reason persuasion is used. Right? People don't convince us of things. We just see what they do, and that's automatically right. So here Shlomo is reassuring us that we do have an innate moral sense that comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we develop that, or better, we redevelop it when we learn Torah. So really, I would say my model that there are three parts that go into our ethical decision making: our minds, ethics, our hearts, that's moral judgment, and our conscience, with the inner voice of the innate Torah that we were given. So we have that, we're born with something there. But Rabbi Simlai adds that what's the fetus like? Right? It's in the fetal position, right? All folded up, the head between the knees. That this light only works when you're all folded up in your. It certainly starts when we have to interact with others. That's when it gets. Right? That as soon as we come out, we're no longer in that fetal position. We have to deal with other people. Now we have the idea that Derech Eretz is how society works. We have to deal with other people. Now we have to actually make decisions and work out. And that is what the lekach is, the amount of work that it takes to get this point to this lekach Tov. So it's worth doing the effort, learn Torah, be good to other people, even though it is a lot of hard work. And we'll stop here.
Thanks, Annie.